E and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The jury in Hunter Biden's federal gun trial was split down the middle before agreeing to convict the president's son on all three charges. But one of the jurors tells ABC News there was no political bias in their decision.
The verdict, I believe, was not politically motivated.
Hunter Biden could get up to 25 years in prison, but legal analysts say he's likely to do little time behind bars, if any. The president headed to Delaware to be with his family after taking part in a gun safety event, which he targeted some Republicans he says are blocking what he calls common sense gun legislation. Police in Atlanta say four people were shot and wounded at a shopping mall.
We believe everyone will survive at this point. Those that were taken to Grady Hospital were classified as critical.
And Chief Darren Scheibaum, an off-duty officer, was shot and wounded the suspect. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Downtown Milwaukee business owners want the Republican National Convention protest zone moved. That's after efforts fell short to ban guns inside the convention's so-called soft zone, which includes the planned free speech zone. Bar and restaurant owners say they're worried about potentially violent confrontations. Observers say four state Senate races are competitive this year as Democrats try to take the majority in as soon as 2 years.
If you don't win all four, you're okay. You can get there. If you win just two, that's really tough. That makes it challenging. So for Democrats, they want three. Three gives them a pretty good chance for 2026.
J.R. Ross of WisPolitics speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Southbridge is the focus as crews continue to install deck form work and rebar at the 130-133 bridge project in Lone Rock. Two concrete deck pours are planned for late June and early July. The North Bridge final touch-up and staining was completed last week. Sealing the deck is being planned for this week. Intermittent flagging on Wisconsin 133 will occur over the next couple of weeks for crews to finish staining the backside of the retaining wall barrier facing the river. Wisconsin DOT bridge inspectors are scheduled to perform standard annual inspection on the existing South Bridge June 20th. Traffic across the bridge will be flagged to a single lane most of the day starting at 7 a.m. Rock and causeway construction for bridge demolition access will begin after the mussel survey and relocation effort is completed. Bridge demolition will start late this year after traffic is on the new bridges and continue through the winter. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers with a win over the Blue Jays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 3-1 victory over the Toronto Blue Jays. The crew had not hit a home run in the past week until Jackson Churio did it in the third, followed by Willie Adames in the fourth inning on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Adames, deep left center, and the Brewers are going to have the lead. Number 10 for Willie.
That was a bomb. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Willie's such a competitor. I've seen him hit that same home run 20 times since I've been here. Slider kind of down in the zone, right in that same spot.
Colin Ray got the win, now 5-2 for the season. NBA, Darvin Ham coming back to the Milwaukee Bucks as an assistant after a 2-year stint as the head coach of the Lakers. UConn's Dan Hurley declining an offer from the Lakers to become their next head coach. NFL, the Packers back on the practice field for the first day of their mandatory minicamp this week in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe a storm through early evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the mid-50s tonight. Partly sunny for tomorrow. Evening storms possible. Some could be strong with damaging wind gusts and large hail. A high to the mid-80s. Thursday, just a slight storm chance and a high near 85. Right now, it's 76.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Bob Lord from Patriotic Millionaires joins us at 10:33. And you're on the road with Jane and Todd in Richland Center Live. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. The number right away, Johnny Lupinacci. Johnny, speaking of, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm excited. I mean, this week is already off to, you know, banner set of shows. We had great guests yesterday. We had an awesome show and got one I've been excited for months.
Yeah.
So we'll get there. We'll get there quick, Tim, because I'm like,
we'll get there quick. But, you know, here's the thing. Tomorrow night, too, got to put it out there.
If you're
in Madison, check it out. Go get it to the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. First of all, you know why, Johnny? Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And if you get down there tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, it'll be a live, you know, remote cast. Tim and Johnny remote from Washington and Ohio. And then coming out of the tap room, Kirk is going to be down there, the owner, hosting the show. Guests, Heather. And you just got a great lineup of people. And everybody participating in the episode, there it is. I mean, everybody participating at Minocqua Brewing gets
they
to
can join.
Yeah, they can join in. Big thing, though, big focus, registering people to vote. Registering people to vote to get them out there. But, yeah, Minocqua Brewing Company tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Get down to the tap room in Madison right across from East High School. Yeah, you go down there and hang out, have a beer. If you're like me, you have a nice one of their sodas. You buy some T-shirts. You just enjoy yourself and meet with a lot of great people talking about truly the things that matter most. And at this point, too, getting people, as many people as we can, registered to vote, because this election coming up, Johnny Lupinacci, man, we got a lot to say. All right, Johnny Lupinacci, you're excited about this episode tonight. Special guest. I got to say, yes, this is a reigniting of a relationship that was built back in the day when Busted Pencils was solely just a podcast, Rethinking Schools, which has its origins in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We teamed up back in the 2015, 2016, created a partnership where on the Busted Pencils podcast, I would feature Rethinking Schools authors. And guess what? Rethinking Schools would feature the Busted Pencils logo in their print materials too. And it was a beautiful relationship. Some of the most incredible episodes. And in fact, that new BustedPencils.com that's about to be available, we can reissue those great episodes where we have everything about there. But tonight, Johnny, we're announcing we're back. The relationship is rekindled. Busted Pencils. Yes, Busted Pencils and Rethinking Schools together again. And our guest is a social justice educator, accomplished writer and researcher. She's an experienced consultant and speaker. Also a movement and meditation instructor, but most importantly, she is the first, the new, the only so far executive director of Rethinking Schools. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Dr. Sierra Kaler-Jones. How are you, Sierra?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled about this partnership, and I can't wait to just continue highlighting the stories of social justice educators.
Oh, it is great. And I said the stuff out there, I mean, first of all, right off the bat, everybody go to Rethinking Schools, check it out, see what they're doing. Lots of amazing stuff. But Sierra, so you're the first executive director. Tell us and the listener, what does the executive director of Rethinking Schools do?
Oh, yes. Well, pretty much anything that you can think of, I am involved in it. I help to oversee the business and the operations side of the organization, the nonprofit aspects or aspects of the organization, as well as the content and the editorial. So you'll oftentimes find me with my fundraising hat on. That's a huge part of my job. But I also get to write for the magazine. And I'm excited to talk a little bit today about the spring issue of the magazine, as well as one of my newest pieces in there, Teaching Dance for Transformation, because I come to education work as a dance teacher.
Think about this, the question. So Rethinking Schools promoting a social justice view of education, particularly teaching. What does that, I mean, tell us, like, Rethinking Schools, what the connection, the commitment, the mission to social justice and education. Talk more about that.
Absolutely. So first, I just want to honor Rethinking Schools' almost 40-year rich history. The founding editors saw a curriculum that was whitewashed and dominated by corporate textbooks, and now we're the nation's leading grassroots publisher for racial and social justice in education. And right now we're navigating a difficult time. There are anti-history bills, there's book bans, anti-LGBTQ plus legislation, there's a tax on educators, and really just the promotion of distrust in public schools is rampant. And so my vision and our collective vision at Rethinking Schools is really to encourage and to fuel grassroots efforts in schools to build a broad democratic movement for social and environmental justice. And we do this by providing resources like our books and our magazines. We have community spaces like our webinars, writing retreats, and study groups. And these all help sustain educators and remind them that they're not alone in the fight for social justice, whether that be in their communities or in their classrooms. And my vision for Rethinking Schools is that it will be every educator's go-to resource for inspiration, strategy, and community.
And that one, and Johnny Lupinacci, I'm going to let you get in here because I know this is important, but, you know, just to help you, my first remembering of Rethinking Schools was the Rethinking Columbus. And yes. So just to frame that for the listener or the teacher out there saying, yeah, the Rethinking Columbus. At this point now, people are like, oh, yeah, everybody knows all these alternative sides to Columbus. But it was Rethinking Schools that really took, you know, combined with Howard Zinn's, you know, history of people's history of the youth, but putting together that content that allowed us to look at this Christopher Columbus figure and rethink what it means to teach students about this whole concept of discovery and what discovery might mean if you are the ones being discovered who went, we knew we were here all along.
Right.
Nobody discovered anybody. And so that reframing. So that's, again, Rethinking Schools. Johnny, I'd say that was my introduction, Johnny, to Rethinking Schools was Rethinking Columbus.
I mean, excellent. I went through the Rethinking Columbus stuff as a kid, like as a student. Not to out you, Tim, on your wisdom, but that is truly, if I was thinking about my first, you know, encounter, like my first real moment with Rethinking Schools, I wouldn't even have recollected that because, you know, I actually later realized, oh, this is the stuff that we learned in Detroit Summer, that we were learning from social justice educators in Detroit who were active with Rethinking Schools. And I will say, like, since my day one in classroom, Rethinking Schools has been, you know, a key part of being a math teacher, of being a social justice educator. Yes. There were so many years where, like, to be a teacher in Detroit, if you were responsible and you responded to the needs of students in our community, or you were from that community, and I was both, right? The reality was, it didn't matter what subject you were teaching, you were a social justice educator. Mm. I mean, there was just really no, you either had to be on the side of continuing oppression, or, you know, fighting it by any means necessary. And that meant, you know, being an educator, that and asking the questions like, where can we get support on this? Because it wasn't in teacher education. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, there were little snapshots of it, but for all, I can say 25 some years, that Rethinking Schools has been my go-to, not only in the curriculum that it offers, it's like that my own learning about each topic. So listener out there, if you're not familiar with Rethinking Schools, like as a teacher, if there's a topic I'm like, I'm not sure I know enough about this to teach it, Rethinking Schools says, we got you, because we are teachers teaching teachers, and we are learners leading learners. So all of the professional development too, it's like forever. I'm heart crushing. I'm a big fan, but this is the thing. Every PD I was involved with as a participant in Rethinking Schools changed how I taught, because it was teachers that would demo, get this out there, teachers, PD, where they actually demoed for us the lesson we would teach our kids. Like, we went through it and we learned so much about the topic and how to teach it together. I was like, oh, y'all need to certify teachers. That's what's up. This is the stuff. So I'm crushing hard. Sierra, thanks for bringing this back together with Busted Pencils. But folks, for listeners, like, this is stuff that's been around. It's not brand new. It's got long connection with veteran teachers, with new teachers, with activists, with social justice educators, you know, people across diverse communities who are coming together to really make this work, make it doable. Mm-hmm. I always got that question, like, you're a math teacher, what do you mean you teach about social justice? And it was like, oh, here's how we do it. And check it out, I'm not making this up. Like, here's all these really cool lessons that Rethinking Mathematics has. So other math teachers kind of have that entry point too. And it's really been about building a movement. So thank you, Sierra, for the work you do, for being part of that movement and for being a leader in that movement. So excited to have you here.
Thank you. And yes, absolutely. I feel the same. Being a dance teacher and infusing social justice into my lessons has really come from Rethinking Schools and learning from other educators from across content areas. There's so much that we can learn from each other and together. And I'm just so appreciative of you mentioning how our professional development, our webinars are really interactive, because we want people to be in dialogue with each other, right? We're not engaging in the banking model of education. We are really aimed at education for liberation, and how do we get liberated together? I continue to learn so much from the lessons as I read them, both pedagogically about things that I can use in my work as a dance teacher, but also just the content area and the content knowledge. There are historical events that I have never learned before. And as an adult, now I'm able to learn that from my colleagues and my comrades at Rethinking Schools and all of the contributors and educators that are a part of our network.
Oh, our guest, Dr. Sierra Kaler-Jones, she is the executive director of Rethinking Schools. We are announcing, yes, the partnership reignited, not new, but just bringing it back together, Busted Pencils, Rethinking Schools. And when we get back, Sierra, though, too, you hit on a term, the banking model of education. We might need to define that. Yeah, banking model education, defining that when we get back.
News from the center, WRCE.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Yeah, there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842. Dr. Sierra Kelly Jones. Hey, you're the dance teacher. Could you put together a dance for a little Rise Against music like that you hear in the background there, Sierra?
I love it. I was just about to comment on it. I love the musical aspect of this.
It's a huge part of the show. And you're talking about it. It's like education, music, dance, and Johnny even talking about mathematics. Who you're talking, we're here, the Busted Pencils, Rethinking Schools, Busted Pencils partnership, fully engaged again. Talking about though too, the remembering, we're all kind of talking about this going like, man, it was Rethinking Schools that got me hooked on this. It got me thinking about that. But then, Sierra, you talked about, we're not doing the banking model of schools. And that to me just sounds like that's an opportunity right now to say like, what do you mean we're not doing the banking model of schools?
Yeah. So the banking model concept comes from Paulo Freire and the Pedagogy of the Oppressed. So highly recommend that folks engage with that text and with the pedagogy behind that. And basically the banking model is the idea that the teacher has all of the knowledge and the information and just makes deposits into students as if they are a bank, right? And so we actually counter that narrative to center students' lived experiences and their expertise about their communities, what's going on in their lives, and really making sure that that's central. I actually write a bit about this in my piece, Teaching Dance for Transformation, where I talk about my unlearning process as a dance teacher, whereas, growing up being a dancer, there was always this pedagogy of listen to the instructor, 5, 6, 7, 8, do it again, stand up straight, look at yourself in the mirror, it has to be perfect. And then I ended up perpetuating that same narrative to my students until I had a really hard moment where the students, I was trying to encourage them to practice improvising, and I turned on the music and they just stared at me. And I wide eyes. And I realized that I had made the mistake of not actually ever creating opportunities for creative expression and for them to be free in their bodies, which is not who I wanted to be as an educator and not what I want my pedagogy to be at all. And so my piece is really talking to educators about this process of unlearning and moving away from the banking model and moving into liberation. And so now as a dance teacher, I always say there are no mistakes, only solos. And I ask critical questions of students. I always say, what do you notice? What do you wonder? What's coming up in your body as you do this movement? What does this feel like to you? What story are you trying to tell? And so really framing education as an exchange of information, of an exchange of dialogue, because I learned so much from my students, and that's what we continue to promote in all of our articles at Rethinking Schools, and all of the resources and materials try to help educators frame that pedagogy for their students so that we can create spaces that are joyful and creative and critical and liberatory and make learning fun.
You may want to call me dancing a solo. I'm telling you, it's a mistake. It's a mistake if you see me dancing. It's like, no way. I don't know about you.
Shared some videos, and there's a rumor out there you're starting a TikTok. So
dancing,
so he's going to be starting the trends. I can tell. Sierra, thanks. What a beautiful story that also teaches us here tonight. So listener, what a gift. Dr. Sierra Keller Jones here. Sharing that aha moment we have as teachers where we're like, whoa, how we were socialized to teach
Yes.
isn't necessarily how we want to be as teachers. So we can, you know, sometimes we can know better, but it's really hard to do better. And that sharing that aha moments, telling that story, you know, I bet it resonates with listeners out there who are educators who had those moments, and they know how hard it is to teach different than we often experience because we're socialized into sort of that programming. I always call it school seeps in, you know, like how we learn to dance or how I learned, whether I'm coaching hockey or whatever, like how we were taught starts to seep in and those voices come through us.
Yes.
Both the good and the bad. Mm. Right? So part of our job as educators, right, especially as, you know, as you shared, is navigating that, being a learner, to be open to the hearing stories, telling stories. And I think that's like a big piece, if you can speak to before we go to break in a few minutes here, is just telling our listener about like the power of stories. Like, why is Rethinking School so narrative-based? You know, like I bet there's some meaning behind that. So if you can kind of let our listener know why would they want to check out the stories that are told through Rethinking Schools?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you asked this question because my heart's work is storytelling for social justice. It's what brought me to Rethinking Schools. The first time that my name actually appeared in a Rethinking Schools magazine was in the back section where we have the resources. And so a colleague had asked if I would write for the resource. And I felt so empowered when I got the magazine and I saw my name in print. And so we are at a time where with this anti-history legislation, where they're actually trying to ban this critical history. We've heard from educators that they no longer are able to use our materials in their classrooms, even though they love our materials. And so we help teachers and activists tell stories about their exemplary work and about strategies of resistance. Our work is really situated in power building through narrative change by centering the stories and the expertise of teachers and activists, especially because we know that corporate media doesn't cover our stories, or they only tell half-truths about our stories, right? They're more focused on sharing the stories of the Moms for Liberty, but they're not sharing the stories of the resistance. And so our magazine and our books, they really forge a space for social justice educators to tell our stories in our own way without being beholden to the whims and politics of corporate media. We publish stories like how the Portland teachers led the longest K-12 strike in decades, about how elementary school students are using an engineering unit to design a model community where everyone gets what they need, stories about how students are creating their own book clubs to read literature that's been missing or banned in school, about teachers who are discussing climate injustice with students and helping them create art that reflects the world that they want to build. And so we're really highlighting stories of love, solidarity, and defiance. We're not just critique, break down, but we're also talking about what could be possible and what is possible, what's actually happening, because we really also want to provide that hope and that inspiration, especially at a time when teachers are being doxxed, they're being terminated, they're being attacked. We hope that we can be a space of solace, of comfort, of community to remind teachers that we can do this. Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm excited and empowered again, but you know, and I had to put, I love your quote, sharing stories of the resistance. What a great tagline too. Rethinking Schools, sharing stories of the resistance. And it is, it's the story, right? It's the, yeah, take it. It was your quote. So you don't have to borrow your own words. They're yours, Sierra. Oh, it's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Our guest, Dr. Sierra Keller Jones, and Rethinking Schools Executive Director, the relationship, the partnership, Rethinking Schools, Busted Pencils, back together again. Yeah, and we're going to be doing a lot more bringing the stories. In fact, when we get back, we're going to jump into the current story that we're occupying right now and do a little bit of talking about the current issue. So again, get ready. We're going to do a little bit, you know, what's going on Rethinking Schools right now. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, more when we get back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Waupun says there's no need to close the local state prison. Four inmates died there in the last year. Ron Bishop says the problems at the prison are for state officials to solve. Wisconsin small business owners say they're worried about proposed cuts to the Affordable Care Act. Krissa Ostenzo owns an optometry clinic with her husband in Ladysmith. She says the premium cap from recent adjustments put health insurance within people's reach.
We always just had to encourage our employees to get health insurance and try to pay them enough to do it. And it really wasn't until the 8% that we succeeded in that. And they started all having health insurance.
Temporary ACA premium caps are set to expire at the end of next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. SSM Health St. Clair Hospital Baraboo Intensive Care Unit RN, Brianna Maynard, was presented with a DAISY Award Monday by hospital leadership. The DAISY Award is an international program that rewards and celebrates the extraordinary clinical skill and compassionate care delivered by nurses every day. Brianna's nomination came from the family of a patient she was caring for in the intensive care unit. The appreciative family recognized her for her care she provided both the family and the patient. The nomination highlighted her thoughtfulness, her dedication to go above and beyond, and her caring nature. Police are now saying at least a dozen people were hurt in a shooting on a rooftop party in Wisconsin's capital city. The shooting happened around 12:45 Sunday morning on the roof of a high-rise apartment building in downtown Madison. Police initially said 10 people were injured, with 9 hit by gunfire. Two more people have since come forward to report injuries. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. When given the chance to ride or die this past weekend, the box office chose to ride, thanks to the latest installment of Bad Boys Ride or Die. The Will Smith comeback vehicle and fourth film in the Bad Boys franchise raked in $56 million at the domestic box office and topped $105 million globally. A nice boost for theater owners who are hoping for more good fortune next weekend with the release of Inside Out 2. The animated sequel is expected to pull in $110 million globally. Kid and family-friendly films have kept the box office at least somewhat respectable this summer with the strength of Garfield and John Krasinski's If. Rounding out the top five from this past weekend were Garfield in second place, If was number three, horror film and directorial debut for Ishana Shyamalan's The Watchers opened in fourth place, and it was Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes at number five. Bad Boys' 97% approval rating with audiences should give the film and box office legs for weeks to come. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe a storm through early evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the mid-50s tonight. Partly sunny for tomorrow, evening storms possible, some could be strong with damaging wind gusts and large hail. A high to the mid-80s. Thursday, just a slight storm chance and a high near 85. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.
You work hard for what you have and rely on your income to provide for your family. But what happens if you're unable to work due to illness or injury? Hi, this is Ryan at State Farm in Richland Center. With a disability policy, you receive monthly benefits that will help pay your basic monthly expenses, such as the rent, mortgage, utilities, groceries, or other bills. Let's talk about putting a plan in place now that can help protect your income, your way of life, your financial future. Like a good neighbor, Julie Karen State Farm is there.
Hello everyone, Brian from Walsh's. Right now we are having a deal on two of our most popular steel chains.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we're live in Richland Center with our friend Jane Matinere on the road. Also, Phil Nee from WRCO, WRCE, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
back. Oh, Bust Defense is fully leaded education talk here with Dr. Sierra Caller Jones, director of Rethinking Schools.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.